very nervous speaking in front of all of you because you probably saw me naked at the party last night. And if you haven't been to my party, you missed the puking and stuff like that. All right, this is the good and bad about streaming media. I'm going to show you basically how we're going to steal media and how we're going to protect ourselves from being stolen from. Who am I? I'm Tommy Pickles. I'm originally from New York. I live in L.A. now. I'm single, so any girls out there who want to buy me a drink later? Been arrested and jailed. I only have 15
minutes. I have to break through fast. He's also a very tight guy, so any guys who want to date him, definitely a bonus. I promise you Spot the Fed. We're actually running behind, so we're going to skip the Spot the Fed. We'll do it next, I promise. We'll take you all over to the next tent where we're going to do it. Once again, I'm doing the PSA, which is to thank all of you for your patience and for being understanding for the problems that we're facing, coordinating the convention with the new, not so much new, but the added restrictions that we weren't aware of in previous conventions, specifically with the fire department. We lost about 200 seats because we lost the roof tent. We thought we were going to get those 200 seats back. As it turns out, there was some miscommunications as to exactly how many people could be where. We didn't find that out actually until about Tuesday of this week. So we'd already submitted our plans to the fire department, everything had been approved, so on and so forth. It was too late to change them. Now, obviously, this is a little bit different than what I was telling you before. Reason being is I actually got a phone call from the chief fire marshal last night, a very, very nice lady with Clark County, who spent quite a bit of time with us working through the issues that we felt were unfair, working through the issues that we felt were inappropriate. And we had a very good meeting of the minds. We both sides apologized. Both sides realized that there were miscommunication issues. The fire department was not actually out to get us, which was one of the perceptions that we initially had. And once again, it's for your safety. We don't want a repeat of Chicago or Cincinnati, where 200 people got trampled and about 60 people got burned to death. So that's why we're doing it. It sucks to be outside. The lines are hot and long. We are trying desperately to get the water that's over here moved out to a more strategic location where you can get to it. We're also making sure there's security in the water so you don't get something nasty that makes you think your testicles are speaking to you, or ovaries if you're female, or in some cases if you're female and your testicles are speaking to you, that's fine. And once again, we thank you. You've made this a very good convention for us this year, you've really helped us out, and we really appreciate that, and we hope that that you're having a good time, and we hope that we can help you have the best time that you can, and that we ask you can please bear with us and be understanding that we're working within the constraints that we have to for your safety, but that ultimately we want you to have a good time here. Please also understand this is a pretty much all-volunteer organization. No one here is compensated thousands and thousands of dollars for doing what they're doing. Everybody here volunteers. It's a labor of love from us for you guys, for the community, to come out and have a good time. If this was a SANS convention or an RSA convention where you're spending $2,000, $3,000 for a convention, obviously things would be a lot different. You're spending $75. Is that expensive to some? Certainly. Is it cheap to others? Yes. It's all a matter of perspective. But that's kind of the number we need going forward to be able to put this on without losing too much money. Black Hat is definitely separate from DEF CON. Jeff puts on DEF CON, like I said, for the community. Jeff's full-time job is Black Hat. This is the once-a-year kind of bash that he throws to thank everybody in the security community, both the underground and professionally, for being who you are and basically being good people. And, again, we want to thank you for that, and we really appreciate that. So, again, please bear with us. We're still trying to work out some of the problems. We had a double line forming today. I'm not sure why. We're going to get that corrected. Some of the other little foibles. There are rebroadcasts of yesterday's presentations. They'll be going on in the Apollo chill-out room. There are 200 seats in there now where you can go, and there's a big screen monitor and catch some of the more popular presentations. There will be repeats of the presentations throughout the convention. As we get them online, there will be copies of all the presentations on the DEF CON media server. They're not high res, but they are for free, and they have been for free for every DEF CON that's going on. I think we have up until from 4 on up right now. All the slides are there, all the stream of video, so on and so forth. If you want a very good, high-quality, well-done version of the speakers, Sound of Knowledge, who is handling the audio-video for us right now, has a very reasonable copy of videotapes for you for that. So, again, we thank you. I'm going to turn it back over to Tom.
All right. Thanks, Priest, for the announcement. Again, this is the good and bad stream of media, how we're going to steal it and how we can protect it. I'm going to bang through a lot of these slides really fast because I got like 50 slides in it. A lot of info here. But who am I? I'm Tommy Pickles. I'm originally from New York. I live in L.A. I'm singled. I was arrested and jailed. If you want to hear the story about that, buy me a beer or something. And I'm a media whore. I love to be on TV. So, and I like to drink. So if you buy me a beer, I'll explain that too. Qualifications, yeah. I've been in the business for about 12 years. I've worked in the Coast Guard on computer radar systems and actually weapon systems. I developed solutions for Digital Club Network. I run Moloch.org, Moloch.tv, and we have streaming media there that is totally insecure, so you can go grab it, but it's all watermarked anyway, so I'll find you later. And I always hack TiVos and stuff. Some of you might have seen me on my TiVo talks. What the hell is streaming media? Okay, streaming media is any multimedia, basically, that's sent through a protocol, like HTTP or Progressive Networks or RTSP or MMS. MMS being Microsoft and RTSP is real-time streaming protocol. Common types of streaming media, of course, are the real networks, Shoutcast, Icecast, Windows Media. There's a lot more out there, and I'm only going to touch upon some of them because, like I said, we're short on time. We only have 50 minutes here. Media players, the basic media players we're going to talk about, RealPlayer, Windows Player, QuickTime, and Winamp. Good things about Real, lots of formats. It'll play practically on anything. And they developed this thing called SureStream technology, which is basically encapsulating multiple streams in one stream file. So if you drop down in speed, it'll actually manage your bandwidth. It'll go down to another stream of that file. Therefore, you don't buffer a lot. And then you do have the full screen aspect, which is great when you're like watching porn or something like that. And, you know, like you can't really, you know, have fun with a postage stamp. MPEG-4 technology—that's the newest thing that they got in it, but it's through the InVivo plugin, and I don't really understand why they're using a third-party plugin for MPEG-4 content. You know, there's a lot of development out there, but it seems like MPEG-4 costs the most of everything. The RealPlayer Plus version does cost money. It seems like they're just Real's just like a commerce engine with this Real1 and CNN.com. I mean, everyone deserves to get paid, and I would like each one of you guys to give me a buck when you leave here. But the sole purpose seems to be commerce. It hasn't played on Linux for like 8 and 9, but they updated the codec, so it's still the old player on Linux. Windows Media. Windows Media is pretty good. I do a lot of stuff in Windows Media. It's included in Windows, which is the greatest part about it. How are you going to monopolize if you don't include it with your operating system, right? So it's skinnable. You can do full screen in it. And basically, the large demographic, because they're dominating the industry with just including it with the operating system and an encoder with Windows 2000 Pro and XP Pro. Wine will actually support it under Linux, but only version 6.4. I've tried to install it on Linux for like, you know, the newer players, and it just doesn't work. Windows Media does suck because of digital rights management. This is a little watermark that we all put on our files so that if you take it, I will find out you have it, or it won't play on your computer unless you're authorized. Some versions of DRM are like Microsoft Library, I think it is, on the PDAs. They actually watermark a lot of their stuff with DRM, so you can't play it on a lot of players. There's no consistency between players. Between Real 6, 7, 8, and now 9, things have changed so much that you have to update codecs every time you play a video. So wrong of them. And then one day I actually put Reel on my system with like a lot of the video stuff I do, and it corrupted my codecs because it used shared libraries, and it screwed up my video, my Avid machine. QuickTime Player. QuickTime Player supports MPEG-4 and can edit files, and it's Windows and Mac. But it's not supported on Unix. You could use Wine, but it's kind of like resource intensive. Plugger works for the browser. Full screen's only in paid versions, which I don't know where they get off doing that. And then editing is only in the paid version, which, you know, like, hey, if you want to edit movies, you should actually pay for your stuff. But, you know, why even put the feature in there? The servers. Servers, Reel, Windows, Darwin is the QuickTime server, and Shoutcast and Icecast. Those are basically the same thing, you know, when you go online and go to mp3.com, et cetera. Reel server, it's free, sort of. You can get a license that's actually 1 year, I think, now for 10 users at 1 megabit. So if you're, like, planning on serving office stuff inside your office on a LAN, that's probably not going to work out for you if you have more than 10 people connecting to your server, especially if you're making 256K streams. I mean, you're going to reach that meg in no time. It's multi-platform. It runs from a command line. Nothing's cooler than having a server that you can actually start from a command line. Whoever thought of that? You know, years of development in Unix, and all of a sudden, you know, Windows Media thinks you have to run Windows just to have, like, a Windows server. You can run this from command line. It's really cool and gives you a lot of diagnostics and a lot of logging. And it's widely used. Yes, it has been exploited. I'm sorry if I'm losing my place here. Okay. QuickTime server, it's a free server. But it's not easy to serve stuff. This, like, they made it really free, and they said, yeah, you can serve anything through Darwin. But you had to write these class files, which no one told you how to write them. And you went up to these boards to figure out, and everyone go, well, I figured it out, but I'm not telling you. It's like, now I feel like I'm talking to myself. And it hasn't been exploited. Anything that's on a server system that you do nothing but serve stuff off of, it's going to be exploited. Microsoft Media Server. This is my favorite. It's free with Windows 2000 Advanced Server. It's like, how, like, that's domination. You know, trying to give people a free media server. Like, it has so many exploits to it, and it doesn't log for crap, and I'll show you. It's like, I was, like, hacking my own servers, which kind of seems stupid. You know, like, don't you have a job? Don't you go to the beach? But I hacked my own server. Shoutcast and Icecast, these servers are really cool. They've done a lot of updating, but you can actually, like, stream your MP3s and act like you're an internet radio station, and that's really cool. But it's been exploited, and again, all these things have been exploited. Okay, this is the simplest way we're going to steal media now. One of the things people do is they want to put their movies on their website. Be like, this is Tommy Pickles getting naked in the party, and I'm going to embarrass him on my website, defcon.org or something. The people will just upload it to their website and hyperlink it. Well, that's not secure at all because, A, it doesn't stream well, B, you could just right-click on it and go save as, and then you stolen their media. I mean, if you wanted people to save your media, that's cool and everything like that. But if you're looking for security, that's not the way to do it, because I could actually go through the HTML. The ways you can actually protect this, because if this is the only way you can serve media, is actually use htaccess files. Limit who sees your website or who can click on a link for your videos, or use JavaScript. Or, like, I have people using J2EE and stuff like that to protect files. It's really good. JavaScript will actually hide all the links and not let you, like, do view source. Of course, there's a lot of ways to get around that, but, I mean, we're talking about limiting the demographic, security through obscurity. Okay, basically, if you want to stream it cheap, you can create these files, like batch files, like an ASX file or M3U file, stuff like that, and put that on your website. So if someone right-clicks on it, they're just going to see, you know, like a little text file that they downloaded. They're not going to actually have the file. Now, they can open up that file and then see what the link actually is and post that into a browser. But this is one way you can actually stream files, like actually make a little batch file that's a .asx and just references the WMV file or ASF file. Those are just brief examples. Getting around the HTML. Now, this is what you get into when you start going after the media. Like, I've stolen video from techtv.com and CNET.com just to see how good they are. And, you know, like, it was just stupid. You know, no one protects it. All you have to do is siphon through HTML files and, like, look for anywhere they have basically .mov or .asf, ASX, or something like that. And you're going to find, like, they usually put embed tags and stuff like that. And you basically, you can use, like, wget and, like, or linux-dump. Actually, on the in the program CD or on the site, there should be actually tools for Windows if you don't use Linux, too. I have, like, wget for Windows and a bunch of other files on there that will help you do this. But either way, you have to just download the local file, look at the, if it's .rmm or .asx, and then look inside the file and see what it is, and then just make even an HTML file on your desktop that you can actually right-click on your desktop and download the file. Okay, siphoning HTML. This is basically the way that if you go through the web stuff, you'll actually see different stuff in the page source, such as MPEG and stuff like that. If you can't right-click, this is the most useful thing. If you can't right-click or view source on a page, there's like that little Windows key on your keyboard. You can actually push that, and it overrides everything that the browser's telling you to do. So it'll actually pop up that shortcut menu, and then you just mouse and go view source, and it'll pop up. So Windows keys sometimes do serve a purpose. You can find you could find where you're getting the video from by just playing it. And if you use a sniffer, like Iris is pretty good, you could actually see where the video is coming from. And it's going to give you the hyperlink. And then you could just plug that into your wget and steal the video. Or you could do TCP dump. I would like to cover TCP dump, but time is really short because there's a lot of things you could do with TCP dump and do like VVV and like basically look at hex codes. But if you want to talk about that at the bar, after four drinks, it gets really hysterical. Okay, media from media servers. A lot of the big media servers like MTV, they will use a big media server. They'll try to protect themselves against this. There's ways to steal around these things. Real media, like first of all, is probably the best logging engine just because they log everything. They log how much you watch the thing, how many times you've watched it, different things like that, so it's really cool. It's a TCP connection, and then it'll stream UDP stuff. But the TCP connection will not like close until you like log off, basically, or stop watching the video. But we'll cover that, how, like, how I'm stealing from real media, too. Streambox VCR. This program, I'm telling you, is like the best program in the world. That like they keep on developing it. Basically, it will grab any real media, and they patch it so it could get like past real 9 Helix security, and it basically fakes a real player. And so like when it connects up to the server, it'll just report, yeah, someone's just watching the file. Meanwhile, I'm ripping it at like 1 meg speed, and like it says it's reporting like 56K stream to them. It's just really cool dynamic program, and it keeps on getting better every day, unless those guys die, of course. This is basically what Streambox looks like, and it's really simple, and you just like go through and it'll show you when it's downloading the actual files and how fast it's downloading and stuff like that. It's really easy to configure. You're like, here's the location I want to download from. As you can tell, it's a media file from like, what is it, streamingmediashow.com? Where do you want to put the destination? You can actually choose the speed that it's going to write to the real media logs. So you could say, I'm going at 56K. Meanwhile, you're ripping at like 200K. And it will give you the best file. You could queue files. That's the coolest thing. Because I actually was talking to somebody when I was stealing their media. And they were going to look out for me. So I'm like, okay, go ahead. And after like 9 o'clock, I would start my queue. So by the time I woke up in the morning, because I know he's probably sleeping too. So like I just keep on downloading every night, and I got like a whole archive. How are we going to fight this? Okay, there are some problems about this. It does take some thought. Real media log doesn't Real doesn't log until you disconnect from it. It sends like a TCP session saying, okay, this guy's done. This is how long he watched the video. So once you watched it, you're in their logs, and then they can disconnect you. And one of the ways to you can try this, I mean, go up to defcon.org to their media archives. Try using StreamRipper. You might get in there once, and then you'll be banned. Because they're going to look for all your info. Basically, there's ways to hide files from Streambox and stuff like that. A company that I work for, Digital Club Network, they actually started working with Tomcat and doing stuff through SQL. It's really hard to work through that. Plus, if you have ADD like me, you'll probably be like, I'm bored. Shiny blue thing, you know? So, like, I'm not into, like, the long haul with, like, streaming media. What's the signature of Streambox? Basically, Streambox writes its own real player version. I don't know if you can change this. Again, it's hex editing. You have to get in like, and maybe change the signature. But basically, it's going to write that it's Streambox. It's going to say real media, but if you know Streambox, you know the version of real player it's going to put there. Windows Media. All right. First of all, connecting the internet with your desktop is probably the stupidest thing ever. I don't care if you want to put active content on your desktop. That's just, it seems retarded. Because you can use MMS// in a lot of applications, like video editing programs. You could actually take a video, like, you know, it's streaming from an MMS server, put it into, like, a video converter. What I included with my talk is Stoic. And you can, like, just convert it to an AVI file on the fly from the media server. It's so wrong. You, like, feel dirty when you're done. You go to the shower, and you're like, oh, I got to get clean. But it comes with Windows 2000. Like, when I installed it, it doesn't require any configuration. So right there off the bat, you know it's not secure. I mean, if you don't have to configure it, that means everyone has the same. And it doesn't log, like, I've seen, like, old grandmothers go in the forest and log better than Windows Media. Okay, this is Stoic, all right? This is a screenshot from my desktop. As you can see, it's kind of, like, small, but, yeah, that's coming from stream.techtv.com, and I saved it to, like, an AVI file. Basically, I got this pop-up window, right? And you're like, oh, let's put pop-up windows for players, not so we can advertise all over it. But basically, you just have to siphon this HTML, look for, like, the embed tag, and you're going to find the MMS URL. I mean, it's right there. It's not that hard. It's like, oh, duh, graphic, advertisement, MMS stream, you know? So once you find that, you plug that into Stoic. And then once it's in Stoic, you can actually choose what codec you want. Like, so you could change it into Windows Media file, or you could choose, like, you know, an AVI file. You could do whatever. You can, like, enhance colors. Really cool. And it's a free program. ASFR. This is supposedly ASFR recorder. I wanted to cover this because I thought it worked. It doesn't work very well. What happens is it's basically a WGET for HTTP and MMS. It supports Chinese, Japanese, and Korean characters in it, which I thought was cool, but I don't speak any of those languages either. So the fact that, like, you could put it in there, all right, right. Features. It'll fix all this stuff. It'll basically log a resume file, so if you ever get disconnected, it'll still resume. Really cool stuff in it, but all my, like, data files I downloaded actually came, like, corrupted. So I'm not sure if I'm doing something wrong. I mean, like, Windows is really tricky, so I don't know. But basically, you bring up ASFR in a file, and just like this, like a WGET, and stream, blah, 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 blah. And once you, oops, sorry. Oh, man. All right. Basically, when you WGET it, it gives you an image like this, like just like WGET or links dump or something. It tells you the percentage that's coming down. Doesn't work very well. You can try it at home. Tell me what, if you can get it to work, then email me and go, you're stupid. How do you protect this stuff from, like, being stolen from Windows Media? maybe proxying it. I talked about ideas about sequential files, because when I go through a site, I'm going to pretty do it like sequentially. I'm going to go one file, one file, one file, one file. If I saw that on my Windows Media Server, I'd think, hey, someone's stealing. No one watches video, 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 video. They're going to watch video, Britney Spears, you know, whatever. I'm just ADD, you know. So, like, I won't be able to just video sequentially. Let's see. Basically, this was me trying to grab from my home media server the upgrade video. I was seeing if it actually played on the system. Then I went to go looking through my logs. That's just the admin program. It must be in this log. No. How about this one? No. You're good, Windows. All right. When you go through the help file going, hey, where's my logs? It has a help file like this, and it tells you what it logs. Nowhere on here says the player. It just tells you when people are connected and what their IP is. Like, big deal. I could do that with a sniffer. I could do that with anything, an IDS. But basically, Windows doesn't do crap. How to grab MP3s. MP3 files are really cool. And the fact that I just stumbled upon this, I didn't even look for it. You could basically steal MP3s from Shoutcast, which really pisses off internet people. Like, you could do it with, like, inside Winamp. You could only do it in certain versions of Winamp, and Winamp 3 really isn't that great anyway. And that's Winamp if you've never seen it before, you Napster people. There was this plugin that was developed for Winamp. Basically, it was disk writer and file writer. No one really used these that much. And what you would do is actually enable it. And instead of having wave output, it would actually write to your disk. So if you're connected to the internet and listening to like some great radio station, you're going to actually write that to your drive. And it's really cool. Basically, file writer has this kind of config where you can actually choose what kind of file format you want to write in. You could actually config it pretty well, too. Basically, there's this other program, StreamSaver. It was it was okay. It was I just tried it out just because I thought I needed another program to deal with. It's really simple. You know, you could try it out on the disk. Okay, this was the bad news. I was crying when I heard this. Winamp corrected the disk writing thing. They realized that people out like me were out on the internet stealing from Shoutcast servers. So they said, okay, we're going to write a little plug in there so it doesn't let people steal from Shoutcast. Good news, StreamRipper came out. So basically, this is a SourceForge project. You could actually load this up next to your Winamp, play the song through Wave, and also write it to the disk at the same time. And it's really good. The only problem I found is it really loads all the time when you load up Winamp and you're like, I don't want to steal, I just want to listen to Justin. So basically, this is StreamRipper. Like I said, it like has this little pop-up next year, and it doesn't even go. Come on, how unfashionable is that? This is another program, FreeAmp. This is really good too. It's free and actually has config to write to the disk. And then also has, like, hey, save Shoutcast streams locally. Well, that's convenient. I don't know how they get away with it, but, you know. XMS, if you use Linux, this will work, too. As you can see, I, like, have the files down there. Like, it has the, right there at the bottom, output plugin, and you basically write it to the disk. The only problem I've experienced with this is if your internet stream buffers, or if you're, like, you can't do this on modem, basically. You have to have a high-speed stream. It will have some problems. But programs like FreeAmp will actually split when it hears silence, so it'll actually make tracks for you. It's just so cool. How do we protect MP3 streaming? Well, if you put it on a page, you know, you got to watch out because someone could siphon your HTML and see like just links, or they could see the M3U files or something like that. Again, you could use like htaccess. Htaccess is really cool because you're like superior and you can think of your big admin going, I don't want you to see my content. What are you going to give me? Disk writing and file plugins don't work, so that like limits some of the hackers that are going to come hit your site. But basically, it's if you're going to run a streaming media server, you got to get into, like, it's a server. You got to understand, like, servers need security. And if you don't have security, I'm going to be like, ha-ha, I got your baby pictures. Or, you know, like, stupid stuff like that. Or, like, you know, getting video of, you know, you and your husband. Or, you know. So you got to, like, protect the servers. Watermarking is, like, really good. Security through obscurity is sort of a solution. When you want to decide on the security, or basically decide on the streams, you want to decide on what kind of security, how much are you willing to invest in this. By, like, just putting a streaming server up, you don't have to configure it, it's probably really a bad idea. Basically, I think that's all I have. I have, like, lots of links, so, like, hopefully this goes out on the web and stuff, but basically all the links that I kind of went through. And if anyone has questions, because I bet there's a lot of them, we can go through questions.
I have a subscription to Rhapsody, that $10 a month thing.
Okay. From Rhapsody?
Yeah.
How are you playing it from Rhapsody? I would use a sniffer on Windows and basically follow the HTML stream. Sometimes they'll use cookies, so you could fake the cookie by writing it into a file. But basically, that's what I would do. I'd actually use, like, Iris or something, because Iris will actually list the file name, and you could probably click on that and download it. Huh? No. They don't write it, like, in a format that it'll understand. You have to edit that file. Like, you have to snip it at the hex. You got to, like, hex edit it, basically. It depends on the program that you actually encode it with. There's different types of watermarking. You could even impose a logo on it if you want. You can do that through different programs. Like, they all cost a lot of money if you do that kind of stuff. Like, there's four different companies who actually invest in watermarking technologies. Now, most watermarking technologies often only work on one platform. They will only work for Windows, or they'll only work for Mac. I haven't seen any watermarking technologies that go cross platforms. I don't know them offhand. Go ahead.
Rapid.
No.
Rapid is a Microsoft tool that comes with the SDK. It's really cool. You connect to a URL. You can change it. What it does is it wraps out all the filters that a particular media goes through to get to the final stage. You remove the direct show output from the end. Add on your own filters, create your own file, and remove the watermarks right from the file, right from the API file.
Well, I'm sure you could do that with Stoic as well, because Stoic does let you convert the video, and you could actually keep it as Windows Media and strip out a lot of stuff also. Huh? Like I did for Digital Club Network, we actually did a SQL server to have all the media on, and that fed the media through Tomcat. And basically, you could not get to the back end. I still, like, to this day, I try to get in and figure out where it's coming from, but they're naming all their files, like, ID numbers with hashes and stuff like that. That gets really boring when you have to write stuff down. So I don't do that stuff. Like, that's the most secure way. That kept me out. I would do something like that. It takes a lot of administration doing, like SQL admin. I hate SQL stuff, so. But that's the easiest way to do it, to hide videos.
With TiVo extraction, I've been playing with that. You only play the MPEG videos in the DVD player.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any digital conversion of that MPEG to, like, every time we're doing this media?
I digitize it,
and then I use Tweaker to make a kind of media file.
That's what I would do. Oh, you can do it with like certain programs like what have I been using? TPMG or no? Tsunami MPEG encoder. That will actually strip down MPEGs. You can move it to a MPEG 1 or an MPEG 2 if you want, or MPEG 4. You can do anything you want in it. I haven't seen it down to AVI, but I wouldn't want to put anything to AVI unless I was going to convert it into something else. Once it's MPEG, it's pretty good. And if you want to encode it in real, I'm sure their newest encoder will do MPEG 2, so you can convert it into the real player. The real player encoder is actually free for what streaming web format. They have little like purchase plans for like the other plugs. You know, like you can only do 2 speeds or something like that. But if you're just going to throw on a website like 80K or something like that, I would just use real player because it's pretty light and a lot of platforms can use it. There's a lot of info there. I don't know which way you want me to approach this right now. How they're doing their digital rights management? Real networks, what they were doing when I was trying to do digital rights management was they actually had a third party come in and do the digital rights management, and it was token-based. But, you know, like, I haven't seen anyone do that in a long time, do a digital rights management with real video. I don't use Real One. I've never used Real One. And that's not because, like, I don't have the energy. It's I don't feel like paying $20 just to even experience Real One. I think that's really wrong. I don't understand where it's like it turned into a adult check, you know, for news sites. True, and it's bloated, and you can't really, like, it's weird interface. It doesn't work on Linux, but I haven't seen any improvements in the Real One player except for the MPEG 4 stuff. That was really cool, like, I could actually do that. But I haven't been able to find that, like, auto-size kind of feature that the other Real players had where it was, like, borderless. That was really cool, and I can't do it in that Real player, so. But, any more questions? There.
Yeah, some programs that intercept the LCI device. Do you report to
it? See, we looked at that, and you can do, like, I mean, that's going really low level. Like, you can actually hook up a sound card and, like, plug it into a DAT tape. And we looked at, like, actually on a Linux box. Optix was really smart with this, and he actually was telling me that you can actually get it off the disk and stuff like that. But hey, if it's right out there, you know, with these tools, that's laziness. You know, like, just go for the tools instead. People worked hard creating those streaming, you know, stealing tools for you. Yeah, and it's actually included with my presentation. And there's actually examples and stuff like that also. Any more questions? Okay, I think I'm going to get out of here. If anyone wants to find me, I don't look like, get that out of here. Basically, that's my email address. I also am moloch.org, moloch.tv, tommy.net, and you'll probably see me stumbling around later. So, thanks.